Let us pray. God of mystery, Spirit of birth, in dark times you come to us, in scripture, in strangers, in dreams. Speak to us now. Let us hear your promise and trust in you. Amen. A reading from Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. The word of God for the people of God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Matthew's gospel in the first chapter. Now, the birth of Jesus took place in this way. When his mother, Mary, was engaged to Joseph, but before they'd lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public ridicule, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just as he had resolved to do this, an angel from God appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this happened to fulfill what was written, that God had spoken by the prophet, "Behold, a young woman shall conceive and bear a son and name him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph awoke from his dream, he did what the angel commanded. He took Mary as his wife, and he had no marital relations with her until after she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're so familiar with that sentimental story, Mary and Joseph, and we're so excited for Jesus to come. We're looking forward to that so much that we miss what happened to Joseph. How awful that must have been to have fallen in love with this girl, planned the wedding, get it all arranged, and then discover that she's pregnant and it's not his kid. How devastating and heartbreaking that would have to be. How disappointing. What kind of betrayal or abandonment or despair might he have felt? Somehow, something got him over that. According to Matthew, it was a dream he had. He had this dream by which he came to believe a couple of things about Mary. And I think maybe it was those that gave him enough hope to go through with this. I think about our own despair, our own disappointments. We encounter stuff like Joseph did, maybe not that dramatic, but we have disappointments. We have things that discourage us. We feel despair, disillusionment, difficulty all the time. Sometimes they're big global things like the state of the world. Sometimes when you think about Syria and Aleppo, you can feel like Joseph did. Somehow he got to the point where he chose this noblest thing that he could think of, which was just to walk away from her. He had every right to put her up to public ridicule so that everybody knew that he was an honorable man. But instead, he chose to just walk away quietly. Well, when you look at the news about Syria, doesn't it just sometimes make you want to just walk away? You wish you could just have nothing to do with it because you don't know what you can do. So many people now, when they're watching the political process in this country, are thinking, oh, could I just walk away from this? If somebody could just invent some Rip Van Winkle pills, a lot of people would take a 4-year dose right now. Sometimes it's not so global. Sometimes it's our own lives, relationships that just don't work out. Things in our lives that we really wanted that are not going the way we wanted. Sometimes it's even more internal than that. Sometimes we're pretty disappointed in ourselves. We're discouraged about who we are as people. Sometimes our relationship with God feels so messed up that we wish we could just walk away. So when we feel like that, what can give us the hope to go on? What was it that gave Joseph the hope to not only not walk away from Mary, but to take her as his wife, to go ahead with this whole risky, outrageous business? How did he get there? Well, it seems that that dream convinced him of two things. One was that somehow this child that Mary was bearing was holy. Somehow this had something to do with God. I don't know if Joseph had any clue what that meant. I don't know if Mary had any clue what that meant. I'm not sure sometimes that any of us have a clue what that means. It was maybe only until Jesus came and conducted his ministry and began to show us that we could begin to suspect that the truth is that every single person has something to do with God. That every person is from the Holy Spirit. But Joseph had to come to that awareness that there was God involved in this thing with Mary. It wasn't just a discouraging thing. There was holiness in it. And I don't know how much he trusted right away and how much he had to just wait until he could see that in fact, what he thought of as the problem, this child that Mary had, was actually the solution to all his problems. But it seems like one thing that gives us hope to go forward when it seems discouraging, that gives us some little light in the darkness, is to remember that God is here. When Matthew explains this dream that Joseph has, Matthew says, this was to fulfill what the prophet Isaiah said about this woman having a child who would be named Emmanuel, which Matthew tells us means God is with us. Sometimes when we feel despair, it's because we feel like we're sort of in this all alone. That God seems like somebody who's far away, waiting for us to get closer. When in fact, God is with us now in this struggle, in this disappointment. God is at the heart of it. It's all about God. We can't see that yet any more than Joseph could see what this child was about to become. All we can do is trust this assurance that God is really with us right now, always. And whoever else we're involved with, God is with them and in them as well. That gives us hope to go forward. A second thing that Joseph seems to become convinced of by this dream is not just that God is involved with this baby, but that he should marry that girl. There's something bizarre about that, but something exactly right by Joseph discovering, if I want to know what's going on here, the only way I can do that is to make a big commitment. I'll never know by walking away. Something about God's presence with us eludes us as long as we hold it all at arm's distance. Joseph could have done that. He could have said, well, I'll wait till the baby's born and see if he seems very holy to me. I'll see if he grows up to become maybe a spiritual person, at least spiritual, if not religious. And then if it looks good, then maybe I'll marry her. No, from the very beginning, he just says, I do. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, you are mine and I am yours. Let's see how this plays out. And in that commitment, he's able to have hope and go forward. And that commitment allows him to keep listening for those angels' voices, because he's going to need them. This is not necessarily going to turn out nice or easy. You notice in reading the story all through Matthew how Joseph is continually relying on the voice of angels. It's an angel that tells him that he should marry Mary. When the child is born, it's an angel that tells him, you need to get out of here. Herod's trying to kill that baby. Go to Egypt. He flees to Egypt. When he's in Egypt, it's an angel that tells him, it's safe now. You can go home. He goes back to Israel. But it's an angel that says, don't go back here. This is a bad town for you to be in. They're still looking for you. Go to Nazareth. It never gets easy. But Joseph has that trust. And he listens for that presence. And he makes the commitment. So, I want that. I want that kind of hope. I want that trust that God is right here always. And I want the kind of guts that makes me able to make that deep commitment and say, all right, God, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, I'm in. I'm all in. Let's do this. As much as I want to walk away, let's do this. Where do I get that hope? Joseph got it in his sleep. The angel came to him in a dream. I think in order to have this kind of hope, we have to stop. You can't dream unless you at least take a nap. We have to stop and just give it all up. Our busyness is the tool of our anxiety. And because we feel anxious, we stay busy. And the busier we stay, the more anxious we feel. And it's only when we can stop and listen that we can become aware of that presence that's always there for us. Always there in us. And we can begin to make a commitment to live this life, to be there for God's sake, partly because it's in that stillness that we realize that that's what God does for us. God looks at us human beings and says, wow, you people are so messed up. Sometimes there's a part of me that wants to just walk away. But you know what? I'm yours and you are mine. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, in feast days and crucifixions, I'm here. I'm all in. I'm here for you. In stillness, we can hear that. We can trust it. And it could give us the courage to say yes to this life with hope, even when it looks pretty dark. So we listen. And we listen. Will you pray with me? God, in the stillness of this morning, we open our hearts to your infinite presence that is here with us and for us and within us so deeply that we can't even sense it. We have no words for it. But here you are. And in the stillness, we are here for you. God of grace, we thank you for your presence. We treasure the good news that you are with us. And we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, and to listen for your voice. And for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.